This is Eric Ortega, Paula Live, Past and Present, welcoming you back to another show in the show that looks at the history of Paula through the eyes of the people that have lived here. Today we got an interview with Jane Blackman, and she's talking about basically life in the 40s and 50s, her experiences as far as being at home during World War II, how it affected her lifestyle, her family. She had family members that went into the war, and she knew people that came back from the war. She talks about that, and she talks about just basic life in the reservation between 40s and 50s. We had a lot more interview we talked about, but that's the segment that we have for today. And in the meantime, we're going to discuss some Kapenyo language words. We got mu, meaning and, a wa'al, meaning there, a vi'al, meaning here, mavi'al, meaning where, Tukachiao, on top, Pananaweao, in the middle, and Tuao, on the bottom. And those are the words for the day. We'll be using those in little different segments and stuff during our little lesson. In the meantime, how about a little clip from Jane Mahato's interview, or Jane Blackman's interview? Here we go.
Rationing and so forth during World War II, did that affect you at all?
Not too bad, because I remember we used... like we'd use brown sugar or white sugar if we ran out, and we used syrup, for in the coffee. I remember using that. And
all right, let's be hearing more from Jane later on. Now let's have a little song. Let's see, what are we going to try today? How about some good music from Inner Travel Bird Singers? We'll do that one today. Now, let's see, Kapenyo, the words mava'au, meaning where. So obviously, you understand you could just say that, when you're talking to somebody, that could be a whole sentence right there, mava'au, where. And then there's on top, which is tukachi'au, and not on top, another word, kai, tukachi'au, meaning not on top. Kai tukachiao mavu'au, Mavu'au, Tukachiao, meaning wear on top. And you could add emphasis by, of course, repeating Mavu'au, Mavu'au, meaning wear, or Tukachiao, Tukachiao, on top, or Kai Tukachiao, meaning not on top. And then there's Tu'au, meaning on the bottom. And you could say Kai Tukachiao, Tu'au. Kai Tukachiao, Tu'au, meaning not on top, on the bottom. You could also, again, add emphasis with Tu'au, saying Tu'au, Tu'au, meaning on the bottom. Well, using the English version of the Carpeño language, you can use emphasis or stress in your voice to say Tukachiao, Tukachiao, meaning on top. Or you could say Tukachiao, Tukachiao, meaning on top, as a question. And again, the stress I'm using is like an English version of the stress, but it's using the words, but we're using the English version of stress to identify it as a question as opposed to a statement. And then there's pananawe'au, meaning in the middle. So again, you could make it a sentence like saying, pananawe'au kai tukachiao. Pananawe'au kai tukachiao, meaning in the middle, not on top. In the middle, not on top. Or you could say, pananawe'au kai tu'au. Pananawe'au kai tu'au. And I don't know if I covered that, but kai is the word for no or the negative. So it's, when you put that in a sentence, it makes it the opposite. In the middle, pananawe'au. In the middle, kai tu'au. Pananawe'au kai tu'au, meaning in the middle, not on the bottom. Or if you want to get more definitive responses, you say mavu'au tu'au, or where on the bottom, or mavu'au pananawe'au, meaning where in the middle, or mavu'au tukachiao, meaning where on top. I guess you could actually say pananawe'au tukachiao, meaning in the middle on top. Let's get real fancy with this stuff. Or that's all we have for the Carpeño language today. Now we'll look into some of the standby for the interview with Jane Mahado. Oh, I'm sorry, Jane Blackman, or Aunt Jane as she's called.
Rationing and so forth during World War II, did that affect you at all?
Not too bad, because I remember we used, like we used brown sugar or white sugar if we ran out, and we used syrup, you know, for in the coffee. I remember using that, and the shoes, you know, you could only get one pair of good shoes. And then I remember because my dad, they had, like, they were coming out with imitation stuff, you know, for shoes at that time, and I wanted some sandals so bad, you know, but my dad wouldn't buy them. He said they weren't good. He'd just buy good shoes, and that was it, you know. He wouldn't buy me any kind of sandal or any made different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember travel being difficult at all because of gas rationing and fire rubber rationing?
Yes, yeah. And my dad, we had a car, but we never went in it very much, you know. He didn't take us very much, unless it was like we went to San Diego, I remember, and I don't know why, but I guess we bought groceries down there, but we'd come home with a lot of groceries, you know. I don't know why we didn't buy them around, but I remember going to San Diego and getting groceries.
What was the trip to San Diego from Pala? Are you talking about from Pala?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What was the trip to San Diego from Pala like in the 1940s?
Well, I remember my dad. He must have been patriotic on account of my brother, you know. Because we'd pick up whatever serviceman there was, you know. We'd pick him up. And I remember that.
There was a lot of servicemen hitchhiking.
Yeah, hitchhiking, yeah. Uh-huh. And at that, of course, that time you weren't afraid of people, you know.
Like hitchhiking was kind of the norm, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't anything, yeah.
Do you remember the route to San Diego or how long a trip it was?
I remember it was a long trip, yeah. And I remember going... And they had this row of eucalyptus trees. And I think that was over there by El Cajon or any of those roads over there. I remember going on that road. I don't know why we went that way, but my dad was always trying different ways, I guess, to save on gas, you know. And then on 395, when he'd come down, he'd turn the gas off to save gas. And we'd come down that mountain, yeah. I just wonder if we didn't have an accident.
Well, you know, at that time, too, they probably didn't have power brakes on cars. So
no, they didn't,
the car
yeah.
still actually, everything still worked on it with
yeah.
the power off.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, you turn the car off, even the steering wheel don't turn,
oh,
you
know. It's scary, yeah.
And it was stick shift, I suppose, so you just
yeah.
put the engine off and your coast
yeah,
along.
Yeah, that's what they do. It close up.
You remember him doing that very often, like on every hill, or just a big one like Shearer's Grade?
Well, mostly the big ones, but any chance he got on any of the hills that was, you know, pretty good, he'd do it.
That's interesting. I think I remember my dad doing that too.
He probably did, yeah. I think most people did. And to save gas, but don't you, when you put it back on, it uses a bunch of gas, doesn't it?
To start, it depends on how you start it, yeah.
You don't really, I don't think you're saving.
You probably save an ounce or something, or, you know, a little tiny bit. But he said when he got on that island, and we talking stuff like that, they did a lot of going out to the ship and bringing in supplies, but they
yeah.
pretty much only did that stuff when ships came in, so there was a lot of time when they were down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But there was times when they were busy too, I suppose. Everybody showed up at once.
My cousin was a prisoner of war over there. Faustino
Trinicut. Oh, yeah. Faustino mm-hmm. Trinicut.
Twice.
He did that march, didn't he? The baton
yeah.
death march or something?
So did Joe Black too.
Oh, yeah.
He died in that one.
Yeah, he didn't survive the baton.
Mm-hmm.
I think my brother knew that, not Richard, but Joey, because his dad was in the military over there, and all the military guys were tight, you know, they were that age bracket, they were all close, so he knew about that, but...
I went to, when he came home from the war, you know, I went to San Francisco and seen that ship come in.
Oh,
it was so sad, really sad, you know, and some ladies sang over the loudspeaker there, and it just went all over, you know. And we waited for him to get off, and if they could walk, they walked, and if they couldn't, they brought them in, you know, those things. It was really sad, though, and he was kind of scary. You know, he if there was Chinese around, or Orientals, I guess, he said he could smell them, and he'd get real paranoid-like. He kind of scared me when he stayed at my apartment, and he got kind of funny-like, you know. And I thought, gee, what's wrong with him, you know? But he said there's Chinese around here, and there's a Chinese family that lived not too far from us.
Oh.
Yeah, but he was kind of scary, and he couldn't sleep. He'd just be up and around, you know. And cause even when he came back here, he was... around the reservation, and he drank. He'd just be around all hours of the night and morning. You know, he couldn't sleep.
So maybe people statewide would return through San Francisco?
I don't know if they all did, but it was just those ones that they brought home, you know, that were like, I guess, I don't know if it was the end of the war or what, but I know it was all them that were wounded and all like that.
The and one you had gone up to San Francisco to
yeah.
meet them?
Uh-huh.
You and who else?
My sister and, who else was there?
Which sister?
Dorothy.
Oh.
Yeah. We all went up there, and we went to the docks there, and we stayed there, and then the boat came in, you know? And then they start letting the ones that couldn't walk off first, they came off first, and the ones that could walk come off second. But it was really sad, you know, see them... Poor boys with, you know, some of them didn't have legs or, you know, or arms or something, you know, wrong with them.
And you said Faustino came off of there?
Mm-hmm.
Was he injured?
Yeah, but he could walk.
Oh.
Yeah, he could walk. But they had a write-up in the paper about him.
I think we have an article over there at the COVID Center on it.
I think so, yeah. We were kind of considered like we had a really nice home. We had outside toilets because we didn't have enough water pressure. But we had a bathtub inside in a bathroom, but no toilet because kind of the water. So you'd go and turn the water on and then take a bath and let it run for, you know, you could go do something else and come back. And
did you have hot water?
No hot water. We had to heat it on the stove. We had a wood stove. Heat it on the stove and then pour that into the cold water.
What did you use for heat in the house?
Just the stove.
In the kitchen?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it was wood-fired?
Yeah, wood-fired, yeah. It was a, no, it was the house my dad built. We had a Linda Vista also, but that was later. Because our house burned down, remember? You remember? Oh, you maybe you weren't even born. That was when the fire station was right across from us, where we lived. Uh-huh. Where Melvin lives now, that's where we live.
Oh, Melvin.
Porky.
Oh, yeah.
They called
okay.
it Porky.
Porky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Miss Porky.
Yeah, everybody does.
I'm like, who's Melvin?
Yeah. And they had to come out from Red Mountain, is it?
Red that Fall was Brook. Their fire station?
Well, it was right across the street from our house, but mm-hmm. the lady was like off season, and she wouldn't let them use the equipment. Mm-hmm. So then they called it in, and whoever called it in, I guess her, called it in as a brush fire because they didn't hurry. I mean, they came out, you know, but I mean, they thought it was just a brush fire. They didn't know it was a house burning.
Oh. But the fire station here was not manned or it was off season?
It was off season.
So there was nobody manning the fire station?
Yeah. They lived there, you know, but I guess her husband maybe was in town or somewhere or something, doing something, and so she wouldn't give them permission to.
So you had to wait for the fire department from Fall Creek,
uh-huh.
Red Mountain,
mm-hmm.
when your house was burning down
mm-hmm.
in Paula.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they didn't rush, they said, because of, you know, wasn't no, well, they rushed, but not like if they knew it was a house, you know. But see, that was my mom had only two rooms, but we kind of like took turns, like some of us stayed with our grandmother at times, and then we'd go back home, you know, like that. Let's see, there was, when I was there, it was maybe like three. And we stayed in one room, my mom and dad stayed in the other room.
But the whole house was just the two rooms?
Yeah, just two rooms, huh? I remember we had those old cots, you know, those, like army cots.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Two bedrooms, yeah, two bedrooms. You don't remember it?
Uh-uh.
Well, we had it was a nice home, you know, my dad redid it every, it had hardwood floors, and he redid them every year. And we could play in the living room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were very seldom in there. Well, like my sister Lucille, it was like one room, one big room, like, you know. And then, of course, they added on to it later on. But she had that, the 1903 one, those houses, that's the house she lived in. Mm-hmm. And like you guys, you know.
And then, how were they built? Were they
just one,
any insulation in the walls? Do they have floors?
They had floors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had floors, and but they didn't have any. I don't think they had insulation. So, because they were temporary, they were supposed to be. They're supposed to build new ones according to your family, and they never did. That's the only ones they ever had. They were all the same. All the houses were the same. No, and then a long time ago too, they had the. Like they had a doctor there, right in the main part there, like where the Cooper Center is and all in there, they had a doctor mm-hmm. and a dentist and somebody, they had about four different families in there that were like, took care of stuff, you know. Then I remember, because I was going to a dentist, and I ran away. I wouldn't go in. It was like it's, you know, like they were working on you in the little room there, and I was waiting out here, and I ran away because I didn't want to go to the dentist. And they had to go get me. They got me, took me in, and it took five of them to hold me down because I, you know, I wouldn't open my mouth. So they put what did they give me? Oh, they held my nose, and I had to open my mouth. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I'll never forget that. Well, they were scary, you know. When you were a kid, they weren't like nice, you know. I mean, they were just rough and like that. So we were scared. I was scared of them. Just pulled your teeth or whatever they're going to do to your teeth. But I remember it took five of them to hold me down. I don't know how old I was. I was real young, you know. Well, yeah, my grandmother, she taught stuff like that. She was a teacher at the old school there, and she taught hygiene and everything. So we learned it from her, you know. We had to brush our teeth, and we had to do this and that, keep ourselves clean, you know. They did teach us that.
And that's Catherine?
Nope. Salvadora.
Oh, Salvadora.
Yeah. Catherine was my mom. And that was her mom, Salvador.
She
taught all the Indian kids, you know, how to keep themselves clean and all that kind of stuff. I know there was just about three Mexican families in the whole reservation. And that was the Ledesmas, Marcuses, and Riveras. Yeah, they were the only ones that lived here.
And the Riveras lived in my mom's house, right?
Yeah. And the Marcus has lived over at Monica.
Oh,
Morrow.
In the back, I guess Highway 76 there?
Mm-hmm. And the Desmonds lived like where Luann lives, right there. I think that's where it was, right there.
Luann Morrow?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Where did everybody gather?
At the store. They had a... The store was where the church is, the end of the church, you know. That's where the post office was and the grocery store and everything. And everybody went there to get their mail, you know, and there. And then also in the park, too. They've had that park there forever. It's the same, except it didn't have those things to play on, you know. But they had a basketball court there. And they played basketball.
In the park?
Uh-huh.
Did it have a rock wall around it then?
Yeah, that's the same wall. Mm-hmm. Only it just fixed a little bit, I guess, in places. Yeah, but it's the same wall.
Oh, okay. The trees, the eucalyptus trees that were growing there?
Mm-hmm.
They were there when you were young?
Yeah. And then they had a blacksmith shop there. I remember they used to, that was I guess, government agency, I guess. But they had like a waterman that lived there that was, I can't think of his name, he's Rodriguez, Abe Rodriguez. He lived right there where the boys' club is. Mm-hmm. And then right next to it where Audrey and Bowie lived, that was, they called it the Olive Inn. That's where they had the wakes or dances or whatever, you know.
And that's also where the store was at?
The store was up just a little bit where the end of the church is, you know, I mean, there, right there.
Oh.
I don't know exactly what they did, but they worked on, they had those torch things, you know, and they did like, I think those shoes for horses and stuff like that. And then they had a big cement thing where you could change your oil, you know. And I think that was on account of the government vehicles, though, you know, probably, I think.
Did more people have horses or cars at the time?
Well, when I was, it was more cars. Not too many people had a lot of cars, but some people had cars.
Did some people still use horses to get around?
Well, mostly from the mountains more. You know, like my grandmother, she lived in La Jolla, and she would come down on either the buggy or horse. A riding horse, come down to see my dad and visit, and then stay for, I don't know, maybe a few days or something, you know, maybe a week, and then go back home.
And that was Salvadora?
No, that was Macquaquish, Maria Macquaquish. That was my dad's mom. Yeah, you've seen the horse and buggies. And they'd just be out there, my dad and her, just be talking Indian, because she died in the 40s. But I remember her, you know. And they'd talk Indian. They'd be just talking away. And then they'd mix it in with Spanish, because they knew Spanish and Indian. So they'd mix it up sometimes. But they never taught us. And my grandmother didn't want to teach us, because she didn't want us to be different. you know, she wanted us to go to school and learn the ways of, you know, everybody else. So she never taught us Indian. They never spoke Indian to us.
Did Salvador go to Sherman?
No.
No. Uh-uh. Did she go to school at all? Or?
You know, I don't know. I don't know where she, because they came from Warners. So I don't know where she went to school. Yeah, okay. My mom went to Sherman.
She went to Sherman all her whole life, or did she go to other schools also, or do you know?
I think she went to Sherman all her life after Warners. I don't know what she did at Warners. You know what I mean? And I think she was 7 years old, I think, when they came down. My aunt and her, they both went to Sherman.
And how about McQuackish? Do you know if she went to school anywhere, or?
I don't know about her. I don't know where they went to school. She knew Spanish and Indian more than she did English. Because she'd talk to us, but she wasn't like fluent in English.
Did you were raised only learning and speaking English?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have trouble communicating with any of your elders because of that?
No. Well, I guess we knew enough to, when they told us something, we knew what they were talking about, you know. But I never knew how to speak it. Mom spoke it till she died, and there wasn't very many people, though, that she could talk to, you know. And she was forgetting because there was one other man, that Latus man, he'd come over and they'd just talk and talk, you know, but there was nobody to talk to, you know, in Indian. And Rosinda, you know, of course, she spoke with her, too.
You refer to it as speaking Indian. Do you know exactly what dialect it was? Was it Kupa? Was it Lusenia?
My mother spoke Kupa and my dad spoke Lusenia. But she could understand him and he could understand her because he was from La Jolla. And there was 17 in his mother's family. 17. And none of them married except two women, my grandmother and one of her sisters, the only out of that whole family, two married. And my dad was the only son. They never had no children. And one of them was the Indians, I don't know who, what Indians, maybe Arizona or them, they stole my aunt's, my dad's aunt.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did, yeah. So who knows whatever happened to that.
Oh, wow. Might have to research that. You've got some relatives.
It's in the BIA. They had it. Because my sister Betty, that's where she found out. I didn't know that, you know, for years and years.
Okay, that's all we have for today. Let's go back over some of the words that we used. We got Tukachi'au on top, Pananawe'au in the middle, T'au on the bottom, Mavu'au, where, Kai, meaning not. And I think that's all the words I covered today. Other position words that I didn't really use in the statements were Awa'au and Ivi'au. Awa'au meaning there, and Avi'au meaning here. And of course, ma is the word for and. I want to say and. So you got a wa'au, ma, a v'au, which means there and here. Or I guess the English phrase would be a v'au, ma, a wa'au, meaning here and there, which as we all know means everywhere. When it's here and there, it's everywhere, right? Okay, and then that's all I have for today. And thanks to the Inner Child Bird Singers for their song, and thanks again to Jane Blackman, for her stories of the early days of her life growing up in Paula. And I'll see you all next week. Have a good weekend. Bye. Or have a good week. Bye.